First John, little epistle of First John. Begin here with chapter 2 and hopefully land on chapter number 4 after a while sometime. But here in chapter number 2, there are two verses I'm interested in. Here's verse number 20 of chapter 2. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Two words here. The word anointing and the word unction. They're actually the same word, come from the same root word. And coming from that particular word is actually the word Christ. You've heard it said, Christ, the Anointed One. Yes. The Anointed One. It is Christ. The same root word. Christ, anointed, unction. Same root word. What we need to understand in the, I hate to say this, but it really is, this gloomy, ignorant age scripturally, is that the Holy Ghost in the church is doing something that is eternal. My brother said something this morning that all of us need to put in our library. And that is that God does not do anything that's not eternal. When God speaks, it's eternal. When God works, it's eternal. Because He's an eternal God. Therefore, what God does in the church is an eternal act. The unction is an eternal act. The anointing is an eternal act. Now, in the first verse I read to you, in verse number 20, the text says, but ye have an unction. Now watch the words. From the Holy One. From God the Father, from God the Son, from God the Holy Ghost. Yes. Literally speaking here, specifically of the Holy Ghost. This unction comes from the Holy Spirit moving upon us. And He says, you know all things. Now what's He talking about? Let me ask you this. Do you know everything? I've met some folks that thought they did, but they really don't. We don't know everything, do we? No, no, no. That's not what He's speaking of. But the things that have transpired beforehand in this chapter, He has dealt with brotherly love. If we're really a child of God, we're going to love each other. How can you say you love God and hate your brother? Just doesn't work that way. Then He warned us of evil men. And we'll see more of that later on. And He tells us of the Antichrist, that one that will come, and the anti-spirits, which we shall touch on later as well. But here we are told specifically that this anointing, this unction, this word that we're using and has been used, of course, in the Scripture for Christ, in contrast to the Antichrist that has been mentioned previously. The Christ man, the Holy Spirit, is doing something in the church tonight. He is creating, producing, if you will, Christ men and Christ women. There is a difference in being a Christian and being a Christ person. Let me see if I can explain it to you. A Christian has a connection with Christ. A Christ person, we will say, rather than Christ men and Christ women, putting them both together, a Christ person has a union with Christ. There is a unity here. It's not that He has my hands. It is that He has me, all of me. So this union is a complete union. That's what the Holy Spirit is producing. When we come into the household of faith, there is that connection with Christ. But when we are developed by the Holy Spirit, we are literally productions of Christ in this world. With fear of stepping over the line and getting into the Mormon territory, which they have some truths, but they don't really know it. But the Holy Spirit is producing Christ men and Christ women, which literally makes us Christ in this world. Now, we back off from that because for some reason or the other, we just don't want to be entirely engulfed by the Lord Himself. We're willing for Him to have our hands. We're willing for Him to have Sundays and maybe Wednesdays once in a while. We're willing for Him to have our tithes, but we're not really willing for Him to have us, and thusly us become Him in the world. You see how that turns out?
Yes.
Where are we? I ask you the question tonight. Where are we in this process? Are you aware that when we get to glory, we're going to see Him as He is? For we shall be like Him. Well, let me ask you the question. Do you want to wait till you get there to get to that category? Why should we? When the Holy Ghost is producing this in us on a consistent basis. God is doing something for us that is eternal. It'll last throughout eternity. We will be like Him. Why can we not be like Him today? Because we will not give Him all of our... Maybe my right hand, but not my left. Huh? Maybe an hour, but not 24. Maybe a day, but not 7 in the week. Do you see where I'm going? I ask you again, where are we in this superstructure that God is building by the power of His Spirit? Where are we? The Church of the Living God is an extremely special organism. It is not just something thought up by man one day, but it is planted of God. It is watered of God. It is reared of God. It is all of God. It is God's little nest in this world. We then are to be what God is bringing us to be in and by His power to be the nest we ought to be for His glory. The habitation, if you will. Basically the same word. This habitation of God in the world. Now, we don't really believe, for the most part, that God's in this building tonight. Just stop and think about that for a moment. Do we really believe that God is here? We have become so accustomed to going to church and doing our thing and going to the house and saying, boy, we really enjoyed God tonight. And in reality, you didn't even recognize His presence. I ask you, how can God be here and us not recognize Him? If President Obama walked through that door tonight, everyone in here would recognize His presence. Why then do we not recognize the presence of a holy God? We place all of this honor on these so-called dignitaries who for the most part ought to be in hell tonight. But we place all this honor on them, and we don't even honor the God of glory when He is as present with us as I am, as you are. He is here. He has literally taken up His abode within us. Now, that doesn't mean that there's the number of gods in this place tonight as there is people. but it means that God has given us of His Spirit, and His Spirit lives inside of us. You see, His Spirit can be any place, at any time, and at all places, at all times. Jesus couldn't do that. He was in a human body. But God does that in His Spirit. And He has His, let me say it to you like this. God is as present in this building tonight as He is in glory. Now I want to ask you another question. How do you suppose the angels in glory are recognizing Him tonight? Do you suppose they're sitting around dead-faced and dry-eyed and not even thinking about who He is? Oh no, absolutely not. They recognize Him for who He is, and they glorify Him because He is who He is. And yet we sit around without any real unction of the Holy Spirit to know these things. And even when the Spirit tells us, we shun it because we really are not ready to be God people. I'll just tell you the truth. I don't really think I've met a whole lot of God people. I've met a lot of people with a connection to Christ. But we don't meet a lot of people with that union to Christ. Here's what we're lacking tonight. It's that union. The majority of you people have a testimony that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you're connected to Christ. But how many of us have a testimony that I am in a union with Christ? And this union is the important thing. This is where we really begin to know these marvelous truths. And there are times in our lives when we listen to the Holy Spirit and God tells us these things. Now, you're going to read chapter number 1, chapter number 2, down to where we are tonight. And you're going to say, I know that, I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's all Scripture from hither to yon. I believe that. But do you know it? You see, you can believe something and really not know it. Do you believe the sun shines? Sure you do. But what do you know about it? Now, I could spend an hour just telling you the characteristics of the sun tonight, but I don't know all there is to know about it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We enjoy these things, but we don't know about it. The Holy Ghost is bringing us to know these things. And when you learn all of these knows in 1 John, you may just shout a while. Now listen to me. The Holy Spirit is making Christ people. Not just Christians in the sense of the word, that we may act like Christ once in a while, but that we are Christ people, we are Him all the time. Are we really Christ in this world? Or could I say that we are Larry and Gary and all of these around here, all of these and Christ? I think we could say it the latter direct. There's still too much of us in us. Do you know what's wrong with Larry Montgomery? There's too much Larry Montgomery in him. Do you know what's the matter with you? There's too much of you in you. How many times have you heard it said, "Ah, I can't help it. There's just too much mama in me, or there's just too much daddy in me, or there's too much of my grandpa in me." What we need to be saying, "I can't help it. There's too much God in me." I think, when I come to thoughts of this nature, I think of old Brother Paul Cornett. You folks that don't know Paul Cornett and you've been in meetings where he's been, I'm just telling you, he's the worthy man. Worthy! Yes, sir. He'd get to shouting and hollering, "Worthy," run up and down the aisles and around the building and back. Worthy! Worthy. Paul would pray all night long. That old man, he'd learned that I was going to be somewhere in a meeting. He'd get there 3 days early. And he'd ask the preacher, "Can I spend the night in the church?" And that man would pray all night long for the meeting. When I was preaching, he's praying. I'm going to tell you something, you miss that kind of thing. And old Paul knew what it was to ring the bells on another shore. He got in touch with heaven. But people thought he was strange, and he was. He was strange to folks down here. But he was getting more like those people up there every day he lived. When you get more like him, you're going to be less like them. And they're going to think there's something wrong with you. And there is, as far as the world's concerned. But there's something more right with you today than there was yesterday, because the Holy Ghost is doing something down inside you, making you more like a heavenly being than an earthly being. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the privilege of the Holy Ghost making me worthy of heaven. Hallelujah. You can't make yourself worthy, but he can sure fix you to where you'll fit in just right.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be a stranger when I get to glory. Do you? No, 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 no. I want somebody up there hearing my voice. I don't like to go too long without calling on heaven. The Scriptures tell us we're to pray always, lifting up holy hands to God. Just be in a spirit of prayer. You don't have to be audibly praying, but in a spirit of prayer. And the more you're in a spirit of prayer, the less the things around you disturb you. You know this is not your home. You're just passing through. God's fixing you so you'll fit in there. And the more you get to where you fit in there, the less you fit in down here. Let's move now to this next verse for just a moment. Chapter number 3, verse number 24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Glory. Look at verse 13 of the next chapter. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit." Here's this dwelling thing. By the way, my brother's preaching on perseverance. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. We dwell in him, in Christ. Now, this dwelling is not just a temporary setup. You're not renting a motel room for a few days. No, no, no. This is dwelling. Do you see the Word? The Word alone shows us that it's not a temporary situation. Dwelling. Dwelling. Look back at verse 24 again, the latter part of that verse. "We know that he abideth." Underscore that. Abideth. Let's do it one more time. Abideth. Now, what does abide mean? Does that mean a casual coming by to see you and I'm moving on in a few days? No, no, no. No, that's like for real. Huh? Now, your mother-in-law may come for a week, but your wife's there. Abiding. What a difference. Look at the Word. Let's explore this. "We know that he abideth." That word abideth. Get it together. Abideth. What does that mean, English scholar? That means that it is a continual happening. Consistent. Happening all the time. Abideth. It's not that he abode, which he did, since we were saved by his grace, or that he is going to abide? No, but that he abideth. The long term. Consistent. He's here tonight. He'll be here in the morning. Tomorrow night. No matter what happens in the election, he's still abiding. Glory! I don't know about you, but I've asked God to just take us out of here before this hell breaks loose. It'd be perfectly all right with me if He'd just come and get us before this mess starts. No matter who wins the election, the Holy Ghost will still be abiding in the children of God. In another 4 years, we'll be less like the world than we are now if we stand still. Verse 13 of the next chapter. I love this. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. I know He lives in me because His Spirit is in me. Very simple, isn't it? This is how you know it. This is how you know it. You don't know it because somebody read you a verse of Scripture. You don't know it because you have a baptismal certificate and a church membership and a print of the preacher's hand on yours. No, no, no. You know it because the Holy Ghost lives inside. We abide in Him, He abides in us. We dwell in Him, He dwells in us. I'm glad that wherever I go, He is. I'm glad that wherever I was, He is. I'm glad that wherever I will be, He is. He is not was, He is. In every case, He is. He's dwelling, He's occupying, and we know Him, and He knows us, because that's so. Now come to the next chapter, chapter 4. I want to show you something. First of all, in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You mean there's more than one spirit? Sure as God made little green apples. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. There it is, plural. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now he narrows this thing down, makes it pretty plain. He said if they say that Jesus is born in the flesh, then it's of God. But if they deny that Jesus is born in the flesh, then it's not of God. There's a lot of folks you and I don't agree with, but they believe that Jesus is born in the flesh. And if you hear them preach, you'd think they didn't slap dab off the axle. But they're declaring that Jesus was born in the flesh. But there are those that deny that. And those that deny that, guess what? Another spirit. Don't fool with that. You've tried the spirits. You know that that's not of God. You stay away from it.
Right.
It's that simple. Don't get involved with it. Don't parley with them. Their intention is to deceive you and to destroy your joy. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Verse 4. You're of God, little children. Watch these words now. And have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We know that verse, don't we? And we think we enjoy it, but let me tell you how you can really enjoy it. Read it. Look at what the words say. Let's do it again. Ye are of God, little children, and have. Have what? Oh yeah, have. Past tense. Have already. Look at that. Do you mean to tell me that this victory is already won? Oh yeah, have overcome. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You are victorious tonight. And we know that the game's not over, but the scoreboard has already said we won.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Already, the battle's won. Let me encourage you to just stop fighting the battle that's already won and start enjoying the victory. So many of us are still out here fist to cuffing when the battle's already won. Settle down Our victory is not in our motions, in our actions, in our strength, in our planes, bombs, and guns. Our victory is in the Lord God Almighty, and His Spirit has already won the battle. Enjoy the victory. Hallelujah. Glory. The battle's over. We even sing the song wrong. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. The battle's already over. It's already victoriously won. Our captain has already defeated the enemy on our behalf. And we're standing around like everything has taken away our oatmeal. The cat done drunk the milk and the dog ate the oat. And your mother-in-law just called and said, I'll be there for a month, maybe longer. Shoot the cat, kick the dog, tell mother-in-law to stay home, and shout the victory. Glory!
Glory.
We're winners. We're winners. We are winners. What a victory. What a victory. And how sad that we can't get a hold of this truth. Leave here tonight like victorious people. Let me just for a moment try to, 2 weeks ago now, I referenced this, I think, the other day, last time I was here, when Tennessee won the ball game, remember? They did win one. When Tennessee won the football game, I think they decided not to show up Saturday. But 2 weeks ago, remember how the ending of that game came down in the last couple of minutes? The enemy made a touchdown. And if you don't think Georgia's the enemy, just live for a while. Anyhow. been there, done that, got two T-shirts. Yeah, and a pair of Levi's. But then, in the last 4 seconds of that ball game, that pass was thrown, and up out of amongst all of that coal yard, slowest outfit I ever saw in my life, came these two hands and caught that ball. Now, remember how Tennessee left that football game? Do you remember that? Every one of them talking about. I mean, it was... Huh? Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey! I dare you to go out of here like that tonight. That's the way we ought to leave church.
Amen.
Just like they left talking about the victory, you ought to leave talking about the victory.
Yeah.
Glory for the victory.
Yeah.